Good evening. My name is Bond, James Bond. I'll have a vodka martini, shaken, not stirred. And the latest episode, with all due respect. If you want a license to thrill, subscribe to With All Due Respect on Apple or Spotify, and never miss an adventure again.
I'm beginning to wonder who I need to code red to get a damn drink in this place. Well, it looks like we're to the segment where Andrew and Ethan talk about local and state politics. In other words, they're going to sell us political crazy when we're already stocked up.
In our politics segment, the Anchorage municipal election was held just last evening on April 2nd. I'm here with former mayor, Anchorage mayor, Ethan Berkowitz, to talk about the results. Now, my initial three takeaways, Ethan, these three. Number one, voters invested in Anchorage. Almost all of the bonds proposition looked like they're going to pass, except for the public bathrooms, which we knew were the longest of long shots, as well as the cemetery. A little bit disappointed there. The cemetery needs some love, but we're all right. Look, people wanted to invest in their city. They love Anchorage. Two, they reaffirmed that the school board was doing a damn good job, because the school board incumbents, all three of them, won by double digits. The third thing is that voters clearly gave notice that there is a change needed at City Hall. This was the worst performance by an incumbent mayor since George Wirch in 2003. My friend, your thoughts on the matter.
I think this is a stinging rebuke for Dave Bronson. He got 35% of the voters. That's where he's sitting right now. Last three second-term mayors who were running in the mid-50s or better. So when 20% of your people drop off, that's significant. The other thing that's noteworthy is when he ran 3 years ago, he had some conservative votes that he could consolidate. And that consolidation doesn't exist anymore. He was the only conservative in the field. Everyone else was not Dave Bronson. And I think that they will break significantly towards Suzanne LaFrance. But I also think that you're right, is that the public looked around and said, we need to invest in Anchorage. We need to fix things that need to be fixed because the state seems like it's in complete disarray. We can't count on the governor or the legislature to deliver the kind of capital that they have historically. So we've got to do this ourselves. And as for the school board, this is a situation where the public was looking around and saying, we're staring over an abyss where there's going to need to be significant cuts because the legislature and the governor are just, well, the governor in particular and the Republican legislators haven't funded public education the way that they should have and have starved it, in fact. And you might as well keep the management team in place at the Anchorage School District so that they can do a better job of taking care of a drastic situation than bringing in some new people who just promised to be draconian and doctrinaire.
All right, so let's take a look at how we compared to 3 years ago. Now, as you remember, 3 years ago, there was a lot of anger in, you know, a lot of first-time voters. You had this Save Anchorage, this whole deal out there, right? However, 3 years later, conservatives, all conservatives, did considerably worse than they did 3 years ago. Now, 3 years ago in 2021, we were very close to having a Judy Elidge, a Sammy Graham, a Kara Paulson on the school board. But this year, some of those same types of candidates were trounced. I mean, 3 years ago, a lot of the incumbents won by, you know, single digits. And I'm talking like maybe 500-600 votes. There were close races on the school board 3 years ago. This year, they weren't even close. They were double-digit wins for these folks. So, and as you said earlier, 3 years ago, Bronson had other opponents after the first round to consolidate. He had Bill Evans voters and Mike Robbins voters. So he had two major candidates there that pulled some good percentages to get voters from, to get that next round, to get that boost going into the next round. However, Dave Bronson was the only conservative on the ballot this round, and he only got 35%. So, I mean, the numbers do not look good for this guy.
Andrew, I have genuine respect for people who are sincerely conservative in their beliefs and who are capable managers and administrators once they gain public trust and win office. I disagree, but I know that they are principled individuals and capable of doing the job. what we have seen, not just in Anchorage, but across Alaska and across the country, is that you have people who put on the label of being conservative, but aren't. And on top of that, they're not even competent managers. And in fact, they're more concerned about burning down the house than they are about taking care of business.
3 years ago, Bronson had the advantage of being an unknown, right? He had the Sarah Palin effect, where he could take all kinds of complex, troublesome issues and just say, oh man, we need to do better. We need to try harder. We need to like think outside the box, right? Okay, so 3 years later, let's circle back to your point. The prior three mayors running as incumbents, in 2006, Mark Begich, 56% of the vote against Jack Frost. In 2012, Dan Sullivan, 56% of the vote against Paul Hahnemann. In 2018, some guy named Ethan Berkowitz won 55% of the vote against Rebecca Logan. This year, last night, Mayor Dave Bronson got 35%, didn't even get the most votes. Suzanne LaFrance got 36%. So, I mean, here you go. This guy is 20% fewer than the previous three incumbent mayors.
Well, and look, I feel a little bad that both Mark Begich and Dan Sullivan got one or two more points than I did when they were running for reelection. But, you know, they're better looking individuals and the public spoke. But I think what's significant here is all three of us avoided a runoff. And right here, Bronson has not avoided a runoff. In fact, is deep in it, and he is, I would consider him, significant underdog with not a lot of upside. He is capped out here. He's going to pick up a few points from disaffected Tuck voters and disaffected Pop voters and maybe some of the other marginal candidates, but his upside is very, very small. Suzanne LaFrance's upside is significant, and I see her, if she continues to run a good, capable, competent campaign, competence seems to be the word that she puts on, she's going to be the next mayor of Anchorage.
Okay, so let's talk about the next 30 days. Ballots must be returned by May 14th. All right, so you basically have, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, right? Now, the comment of the night had to have come from Chris Tuck, who said, quote, he was a little bit surprised at the results. Now tell me, are you surprised that he finished fourth with under 8% of the vote?
No, not at all. And that was something that was entirely predictable. I was just remembering back to a time when both Pete Cott and Dave Donnelly ran for mayor. They were very prominent in the legislature at the time. Pete, I think, was the Speaker of the House, and Dave was Chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, as I recall. And I think the two of them together didn't get 10%. It's one thing to be very well known in your own legislative district. It's another thing when you think you're well known across the municipality. It doesn't work that way. You're well known in your district, you're probably anonymous across the city. And that's why the result for Chris Tuck was entirely foreseeable.
All right. So you had both the third and the fourth place finishers, both Bill Pomp and Chris Tuck, say that they would not endorse. So if you're Suzanne LaFrance, what do you do to try and consolidate these voters?
I think Suzanne has been running a great campaign. And the fact that she got 36% of the vote to this point says that more than a third of the voters are supportive of her. She keeps running that campaign. And she doesn't need an endorsement from people in order to get their voters. She knows what why voters appealed, why voters supported both Chris Tuck and Bill Pop. And she has messages for both those constituencies, and she just makes those messages clear. And what the most significant thing she has going for her is that she is not Dave Bronson. And she does not have Dave Bronson's history of failure, incompetence, and kleptocracy.
Okay, but being not Dave Bronson, is that enough?
I mean, from
Okay, no. I don't mean on runoff election night. I mean over the next 3 years. We've talked at length about what Suzanne could do about embracing Bill Pomp and bringing him in, and creating kind of this. Okay, you're going to handle economic development. I'm going to get the city back on track. That kind of partnership, like you and I had.
There's you need those kind of partnerships, and you need to be able to bring in the best people and the best minds who really want to make Anchorage realize the potential that the municipality has. And there's huge potential in the municipality. You've got issues of homelessness, which we have the blueprint for solving. You've got the issue of how you deal with the energy shortfalls in South Central. We have ways of addressing those. You have public safety issues because the police department is down almost 50 to 75 officers. You have all these issues, snow plowing. And Suzanne, just by knowing how the city works and by bringing in capable people and creating a culture of success around the municipality, she will make this place better. And I think her personality is something that the city needs to heal right now.
All right. So ballots have to be in by May 14th. Any final thoughts, Ethan?
Make sure you vote. You can't complain if you don't vote. And I've said this many times on this show, is voters have no one to blame but themselves if they don't like the leaders that they have.
And we'll leave it there. Thanks, Ethan. Good to see you.
Good evening. My name is Bond, James Bond. But I already told you that earlier in the podcast. I like my, with all due respect, life segment to be both shaken and stirred. Now here's Andrew, a true 007, who has the license to chill, with a life segment.
In our life segment, foods we loved as kids but think are pretty gross as adults. Last week, on a random notion, I took a Facebook poll that garnered over 160 responses. That question was, name a food you loved as a kid but think is gross as an adult. Now, before we get to the responses, let's talk a little science. Now, several factors can contribute to the perception that foods we loved as kids have changed. First, they could be psychological. It could be taste perception. As we age, our taste buds may become less sensitive or change. Could be nostalgia. Sometimes our fond memories can be influenced by nostalgia. I mean, come on, man. Do you remember the last time you had your first spoonful of Kellogg's Frosted Flakes? I mean, it was like, whoa! All right, the last two are tangible. Could be ingredients or recipe changes that manufacturers did to help cut costs, improve shelf life, or meet health concerns. And the fourth could be a processing method change. You can influence the taste or texture. Now, overall changes in taste and perception can all contribute to the perception that foods we love as kids have changed. Now, according to the Facebook poll, the top response was mystery meat that most boomers subsisted on: Vienna sausage, hot dogs, and liverwurst. First off, let's readily admit these were all very nasty to begin with, okay? But what's fascinating for most of these products is their consumption, their sales. Their retail sales peaked at the same time boomers peaked. For instance, the peak of Vienna sausage consumption in the United States occurred roughly between the 1950s and the 1970s. Yo, man, during the boomers' prime time, baby! So, because during that time, canned foods had gained popularity because they were convenient, they were affordable, they were shelf-stable. Now, this list was vast, and I'm sorry, but, you know, the people that were making peanut butter and mayonnaise sandwiches, you know, I'm sorry, those were nasty when you were 8 years old. They're nasty when you're 58 years old, okay? So some of those responses I just had to eliminate immediately. But there are some notables that really made sense. Now, a number of people mentioned SpaghettiOs, Dinty Moore, and canned ravioli, the tasty meals in a can that were introduced in the mid-60s. Now, the entire reason I asked this question is because of SpaghettiOs. Now, I love SpaghettiOs as a kid, but I taste them now. They're disgusting. Okay, and guess what? We are all absolutely correct because there was a big ingredient change 15 years ago. In 2009, Campbell Soup Company cut the amount of sodium in its SpaghettiOs and other products by up to 35% in response to health concerns. I mean, other responses on this Facebook poll mentioned cereals like Lucky Charms. Again, love me some Lucky Charms, but absolutely correct. 15 years ago, the major brands tried to move to healthier recipes, right? Because their sales were declining. They were competing against like these Greek yogurts and healthy snack bars. So their profits were plummeting. So then all these cereals did was they reduced the amount of sugar. And then consumers said, oh, hell no. And so between 2013 and 2018, cereal sales fell 11%. And so today, it's big news that most major brands have just simply retreated and are now adding back the sugar and getting to that original taste. And finally, a number of people mentioned Hostess Twinkies and Hostess Ding Dongs. Yes, my friends, the original Hostess products are dead. Rescued out of bankruptcy years ago, the new Hostess admits that it has changed their recipes to, among other things, extend shelf life and reduce size. Well, at least thank God they haven't changed in marshmallow cream, and we can still enjoy a classic Fluffernutter. Bon appetit, my friends.
While I'm still sitting here waiting for my drink from two episodes ago, let me ask, you ever delivered closing comments, son? Ever recorded in a forward area? Ever put your words in another person's ears and asked them to listen? We follow logic in closing comments. We follow logic in closing comments or people die. It's that simple. Are we clear? Are we clear?
In closing comments, will lightning strike twice? It was 3 years ago we launched this podcast on the eve of the last mayoral runoff between Dave Bronson and Forrest Dunbar. And in my closing comments on our very first episode, we offered a very clear warning about electing Dave Bronson as mayor of Anchorage. Here is our clip from our launch episode on May 3rd, 2021. I know it is impossible for the average citizen who is busy with life to know this stuff, but a serious candidate for mayor who is promising to solve these problems sure as hell should. Dave Bronson is not fit to govern Anchorage, period. In fact, Dave Bronson is not fit to govern anywhere in civilized society. He is just another unqualified politician who has succeeded by stoking people's anger and frustration to keep them distracted from the very fact that he is unfit to lead this city once they put him in charge. Suffice it to say, ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what we elected. A mayor who wasn't qualified and broke everything in City Hall he could possibly get his hands on. Thankfully, this week Mayor Dave Bronson had the worst re-election night of any incumbent mayor since former Mayor George Wirch earned 37% in 2003. In fact, Wirch to this day remains the only Anchorage mayor to get booted after one term in the last 50 years. And ladies and gentlemen, just a little taste of irony. Okay, not a little taste, just a huge, like, heaping, helping slice of irony. Just like one-term former mayor George Wirch, Mayor Dave Bronson started his term by attacking and trying to politicize the library. I mean, serious, man. I'm old enough to remember Bronson's chief of staff, Sammy Graham, being positioned in the library like his first 2 weeks in office. Do you remember that? But what's surprising is that Wirch endorsed Bronson. And didn't these two guys talk? Like, I mean, seriously, didn't George call Dave like the first 3 weeks of the dude's administration and say, yo, Dave, man, it's George. Yo, man, you frickin' with the libraries? I mean, dude, you frickin' with the libraries? Let me tell you something, my friend, ain't no good at a fooling with the libraries. Well, so my friends, my thought to you is, let's hope lightning strikes twice. Have a great week, everybody.